Welcome back to Web3 Unpacked, everyone. I'm Rich Pasqua, and joining us today is Clay Robbins, co-founder of Colosseum, an organization focused on attracting, accelerating, and investing in the next wave of talented founders in the Solana ecosystem. Welcome, Clay.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. I'm excited to learn more about this. And, you know, the idea of Colosseum is really interesting, as it really captures the spirit and the true nature of Web3, you know, ideas, community, collaboration. And Clay, you have a pretty interesting background. You know, you led, you know, leading into Colosseum. You've worked with 0x Labs as head of growth. You led product marketing for Square, which is awesome. You were a principal at Slow Ventures. So the world of advanced technology, investment, venture capital, it's in your blood. And it's an interesting combination. So we're interested to learn more. So we just jump right in. And thanks for joining us. You know, I think later on down the road, we're going to get some of your other partners in and potentially more people from the Solana ecosystem in. We're excited. So one of our little traditions here is we like to find out how people's Web3 journey started. How did you get started?
Yeah, this dates back going on over a decade ago at Square, where right out of college I joined. And on the first day, same team, same new hire class. There's a guy who eventually became, you know, one of the two co-founders alongside me at Colosseum, Matt Taylor, who had just written his undergraduate thesis on Bitcoin while in college. And we showed up to the lunch table the first day, and he was talking my ear off of it about it nonstop. And so that was sort of my initial introduction. Obviously, I'd followed along with the Silk Road events, you know, in passing prior to that, but he was really the one that pulled me down the proverbial rabbit hole. But I think the thing that really sort of reinforced a lot of the initial, you know, interest that I had in Bitcoin was actually working at Square, where day to day, both on the product side and obviously in the earlier role I had around product marketing, we were working with these traditional payment systems in what was, I think, retrospectively looking kind of the heyday of fintech, where we're kind of putting a nice coat of paint over, you know, crummy legacy financial infrastructure. And so you had this sort of counterbalance in Bitcoin where, you know, it's just a very simple payment system. It just worked. It was internet native. And so that was sort of my first introduction. But I think as general purpose, sort of smart contract based blockchains like Ethereum launched, and obviously eventually Solana, and what could be built on chain obviously increased massively in scope. And so that really pushed me to make the decision to leave Square after 4 years and change. And so that's the short version of the entry point. But have Matt to thank for a lot of it.
Yeah, and I think we'll get him on soon. And generally, that's how it starts. You know, you get one, you're sitting with some developers or whoever you're with, and they're into it, some kind of advanced technologies, and they talk your ear off, right? That was me years ago. I still have family members and friends who don't talk to me anymore because I'm so into it. Either you're into it or you're not. So that's good. Yeah. And the whole experience with Square, I mean, that's really kind of cutting your teeth on the next level of, you know, transactions and payments. So, really great.
You never know where your career is going to take you. And, you know, the experience at Square, I now know way more than I should about what goes into, you know, everything from like the plastic layers and the security chips in a credit card all the way through to the different glorified toll booths that make up the payment supply chain. And obviously it, you know, pushed me very quickly into the the world of crypto. And so, so have a lot to thank for that experience, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the idea of crypto or Bitcoin for that matter is wonderful once you start to really understand it. But when you actually see, to your point, all the layers and the hands out collecting fees, as small as they may seem, all mm-hmm. add up. And yeah. you realize there's just a better way to do it. So, all right, kudos. That's fantastic. Now, Clay, can you give us like the broad overview of Colosseum for our viewers and listeners? And then we're going to kind of peel back the layers a little bit as we go.
Yeah, so Colosseum really has three key components. It's an online startup competition platform or hackathon platform where we aggregate thousands and thousands of the most talented and technical developers in crypto and in the Solana ecosystem to build on-chain and compete and pressure test their ideas three times a year in sort of the online events that we run. We then use that platform as the sourcing mechanism for our accelerator, which is part two, where we take a certain number of teams that win each of these competitions, bring them into an intensive accelerator where we provide support across everything from technically de-risking a product all the way through to helping with fundraising. And obviously we invest as part of that, which kind of gets to the third component, which is the venture fund, where we think historically these competitions have been really the crucible of innovation in the ecosystem and are a fantastic way to find some of the most talented and up-and-coming teams at the earliest stages. And so as Maddie was sort of building the hackathon platform side at the Solana Foundation about a year and a half ago, we came together and said, hey, this would actually be great if we spun it out and appended a fund and an accelerator to it to help teams get from sort of that first 6-week period of building all the way through to actually raising you know, proper rounds of venture capital at the tail end of the accelerator experience. So that's a short version, but I'm sure we'll get into all the details.
Yeah, and it's great because essentially you offer a platform or a stage for people to communicate their ideas, but it is a full support system after that, which is really nice. That's really the meat and potatoes of these types of organizations and events. You know, you can raise money by yourself, but are you going to get a VC that truly understands this market? What yeah. goes into it, you know, and all the yeah. layers, right?
Yeah, one of the other key components of this that you know, this is obviously a bet on is the value of sort of the broad independent open source developer ecosystem that exists on Solana and crypto broadly. And I think you mentioned sort of access to venture capital and having to go about it on your own. You know, the reality is if you look over the history of the types of founders that get underwritten by Silicon Valley, they kind of look like, you know, who you would pick out of central casting, right? And the individuals that come into, you know, name your favorite venture fund, kind of fit a typical archetype, right? Not to stereotype too much. But I think what we're really betting on is the massive untapped well of technically capable and talented teams and developers that exist in all corners of the globe. And with just an internet connection, they have the ability to not only create, but also realize this vision in earnest with, you know, a bit of resources and capital behind them, which we think we can provide sort of at the earliest stages. But also, you know, with the platform, provide a stage where they can, you know, with very low risk, other than their own time, experiment and pressure test a couple of different ideas sort of across multiple competitions, until they see one that they're excited about, or they just want to get, you know, something like class credit for, building a project on chain for the first time, which has a lot of merit in and of itself.
It certainly does. Absolutely. At a young age, building your first dApp or whatever you're creating on chain, yeah. It truly is amazing. And, you know, you've kind of painted a pretty good picture of who is doing this, but your audience, like who are you attracting right now? Is it just pure play developers? Are there groups of folks that come together, and maybe someone's more like has business sense or, you know, finance backgrounds? Who are you attracting?
Yeah, if you look back at the history of these events over the last 3 years, you know, 80% of all teams that received venture funding in the Solana ecosystem have their genesis in one of these hackathons. So it's a great, you know, as I mentioned before, a great filter for venture backable talent. And then the other interesting output has been that the average team size is around 3 to 4. So to your point around sort of what the profile look like of the audience, it's really anyone that has an idea and wants to build in crypto, and how that tracks to skill set. Obviously, there's the technical component, right? You need that in terms of building a product on chain. But as the long history of crypto and tech broadly has told, you know, taught us that technical capabilities are not the end all be all of winning a particular market. And so what we see in a lot of these teams is actually a pretty holistic nucleus of founder profiles, right? Where you have maybe a front end and back end developer, full stack developer. You maybe have a designer that, especially if you have a front end component to the product, they're usually part of the founding team. And then obviously someone that has growth and distribution experience is extremely valuable, you know, especially in a market like now where attention is really difficult to get for new products. Having that almost becomes a necessary component for ensuring success in the early stages of a team. And so, like I said, it's really anyone, anywhere in the world with an internet connection and an idea is sort of our audience, which is super broad, but there's a lot of them out there.
That's good. It's refreshing to hear that you're seeing more holistic groups participating in this, because years ago it was just hardcore developers. And if you weren't a developer, you weren't in the room. So I like the idea of that, and people understanding that it kind of takes a village to get these things going, you know? So that's excellent. Paints a really good picture of who's attending the Colosseum events. And now having Solana, a name like Solana, a brand, an organization like them behind you is a huge leg up, right? As far as attracting attention. But how do you, and I know you have a history in product marketing and you understand this world quite well. How do you attract people? How do you get them excited? And how do you, you know, cultivate them into one place?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Colosseum is one of many examples from the Solana Foundation looking to support and you know, maybe cliche, but decentralize a lot of the core operations in the ecosystem, where they don't necessarily want to be the arbiter of all of these different components of ecosystem growth and health. And obviously Colosseum as, you know, an acquisition funnel for developer talent, but also a funding mechanism for these teams to take a flyer on building something full time, I think is, you know, one of the benefits that we're providing. And obviously their support is massive in helping, give sort of the validation of the work that we're doing or trying to do to, enable more folks to build products on chain, for the first time. And realize those visions. So for us, growth comes from a couple of different areas. You know, there are pockets across the ecosystem, whether it's, you know, on crypto Twitter, email lists and distributions. We just started a newsletter. And obviously the big, massive megaphone that Solana itself has been really helpful in driving growth for us. We're now in this Renaissance hackathon. We have well over 10,000 developers that have signed up to participate from, you know, 100 some odd countries. And so that distribution problem certainly is showing at least early signs of being solved for us. But yeah, there's any number of acquisition channels. Some are better than others, but I think especially when you view the entire world as sort of your potential pool to draw from, the, you know, there's infinite number of ways that you can try to get attention. And so for us, it's really just an operation of prioritizing what those distribution channels are and testing each of them to see what actually hits in terms of getting eyeballs and getting folks to actually come onto the platform.
Yeah, and it's great. You know, one of the things that I love about the whole Web3 universe is that you could create, you know, brand advocates, project advocates really, really quickly. And mm-hmm. those are the people, whether they're developers or not, or passive investors or anything, they become your biggest cheerleaders. And it's mm-hmm. a wonderful thing. And if they believe in it, they're going to go for it. But on the flip side, if they, you know, see a snake, they're going to let you know. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's a great community. Great idea to have these people behind you, these advocates, kind of pushing you along, and it's good.
Yeah.
All right. Now you say, Clay, you say you guys are building the startup battlefield, which I love. That's a really cool way to phrase it. Now, you've pointed some of these, you know, the process out a little bit, but how do you go from hackathon to startup? What are those key points?
Yeah. I mean, the battlefield or arena, you know, framing is I think important insofar as the type of profile that we're looking for in teams that we will eventually bring into the accelerator. Like by default, you have to be pretty competitive, right? To take what you view as sort of a closely guarded idea, build in public, submit in public, and, you know, compete against thousands of other, you know, equally fantastic ideas. That takes a lot of courage and also, you know, you have to have a competitive, you know, nature to you by default. And so what the process looks like for us is within the hackathons, we have 5 to 7 different categories that teams have to build towards. They're not terribly prescriptive. They're pretty general. It's everything from DeFi to DeepIn to payments to gaming. And so people at least have some North Star that they're building towards in terms of what they want to be considered for from a category perspective. And from there, we select alongside a fantastic panel of judges, a category winner for each, and then a few honorable mentions below that, just because there's so many great ideas there. It almost feels like you're doing a disservice to only pick one for each category. And then we have a grand prize winner. And so actually there's funding that comes with that. There's non-dilutive grant prizes that come from there. And you know, it's a fantastic payoff to have after, you know, what's effectively a 6-week engineering sprint as these competitions run over that period of time. And then on the other side of that, then Maddie, Nate, and I, the three partners with Coliseum, we then take that group of 40 and we'll interview each one of them and see from a team perspective, from a willingness to continue on with building this, who actually looks like a fit, you know, based on our experience as investors in the ecosystem over the last number of years. And then eventually we'll invite a certain subset of those group into the accelerator. And as part of accepting that entry into the accelerator, we invest $250,000 into each of those companies, work with them for 6 weeks. And then that culminates in a demo day where hundreds of investors across the broader venture ecosystem join and get to hear a pitch from each of these companies to see if they're willing to, you know, continue to follow on and invest in them. So very straightforward process, pretty, you know, metronome like in terms of the cadence that we run these things and the number of teams that we'll be supporting. But yeah, that's the short version of how we get through it.
Great. And it seems like, you know, there's quite a bit of money at stake here. And it's interesting, you know, you guys go through these what it sounds like a pretty rigorous, almost like pre and post interview process with the candidates, because not everyone, you may be the best developer, creative designer, whatever you are, but you might not have the stomach for a startup, number mm-hmm. one, and a Web3 startup is way different than, say, your traditional TradFi or Trad startup. So that's great. And it takes a certain person to kind of muscle through. You have to be able to adapt, overcome, and you know, continue on. because the peaks and the valleys are pretty vast.
Yeah,
if you're a passive investor.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting is that, to your point, you know, being a founder is not necessarily for everyone. And one of the things that we're enabling with Colosseum, right, is you can experiment and test, you know, and build a project, even if you don't necessarily want to continue that as sort of a company that you want to lead as a founder. And in fact, one of the things that these competitions actually do is help folks, more folks within the ecosystem, find jobs within companies that may have been hackathon participants and alumni themselves. Or you can use sort of what you've built and sort of the profile of the project as part of a portfolio of projects that you've built on chain, right? And so it's not necessarily sort of one or zero in terms of having to pursue it as a full-time founder. There can obviously be any number of outcomes from participating in building. But I think having this consistent forcing function to say, hey, I have an idea, let's build it for 6 weeks and see what we make of it, I think is super valuable, especially for such a diverse and global ecosystem like Solana.
Yeah, really, really good points. And one of the points that you bring up, I often tell, you know, younger creators or designers or even engineers, don't be afraid to do a little side project that you're not getting paid for, or you're participating in a hackathon or a designathon, whatever it may be, because you can use that as leverage down the road. And you're part of this new ecosystem, the Solana ecosystem, by default. So it's always good to get out there. And that's a really important part. Just, it's not a one and zero, to your point, or win or lose. I think everyone wins in these situations just from an exposure standpoint. So really, really good points. And Clay, you guys are running the Solana Renaissance hackathon currently. I think it ends, this segment ends April 4th. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Perfect. Yeah, there's actually a Twitter account that someone built. I have no clue if you're out there and happen to see this. Let me know. I don't know. I just want to thank you personally. But they built like a progress bar Twitter account where every day it tweets like the percentage that we're through the timeline of the 6 weeks. And so it started March 4th and then will end April 4th.
That's exciting. Yeah, I like when people get creative with their Web3 memes and whatnot. But how is it progressing? Are you, and I don't know if you could tell us anything about the projects, the people. How is it progressing? Are you seeing anything that you're really excited about?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a ton across all the different categories that we're building towards, that folks can build towards. And I think the important sort of early usage patterns that we're seeing on the platform fall into a couple of different categories. One is sort of product ideation. So we have this product forum on the platform at Colosseum.org. Once you create your profile, you can actually post this idea that you have into one of two different categories. One is sort of the product idea forum, and another is looking for a team. And then people can comment back and forth, and you can have discussions about the idea. You can actually DM folks in private on the platform to continue that discussion in private. And then you can also begin to form teams. And so the thing that's been really cool to see, you know, the tens of thousands of folks that have joined is just the massive, massive deluge of ideas that we've seen flowing on onto the platform. And then the co-founder connections and team connections that are being created just out of, you know, organic back and forth on the platform as well too. And I think, you know, that inevitably will lead to a massive diversity of different products that will eventually have a hard time judging. Like that's the benefit and the curse of building something like this, is I think we're going to have a hard time picking, which is a great, you know, problem to have. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see the use cases that'll start to emerge, but I've seen everything from, you know, Apple Vision Pro enabled, you know, NFT gallery experiences all the way through to, novel ways to approach things like stablecoin payments, and, you know, DePIN based products and everything in between. And so, you know, if you ever have minutes, it's always fun. You know, I start my morning with, I go to Colosseum.org, I go to the product forum, and I just look and see. And actually sometimes I'll message folks to say, to get, learn a little bit more about what they're building. But, you know, there's still 20 days of building, and I don't think we will know sort of what the contours of every single project will look like until it's actually submitted at the end of the competition. So folks still have a little bit of time, but at least the initial ideation phase has been really fun to follow.
Yeah, this is great. And it's great for, you know, people outside, not even developers, but if you're interested in down the road, keeping track of really interesting projects, you know, hit Colosseum.org. And like you said, check every morning, check it out. There's something for everyone there, I guess. So that's awesome. Now a little bit, you know, getting into some of the marketing, because I know this is a little bit of your background. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks from my world, yes, there's tons of Web3 folks in there, but there's also marketing, advertising, design, right? Can you, because you've been in this world for so long, can you break down the differences, maybe just a couple of key differences between traditional marketing and Web3 marketing?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is I think as time has progressed, they've become one and the same in terms of, you have sort of a product acquisition funnel, right? You have the different channels that you can acquire folks from. You bring them into the product funnel, they convert at some, you know, rate, the number of clicks they have to go through, you know, increases or decreases that rate. And then you obviously have the other side of it, of lifecycle marketing, which is, you know, retention and win back and everything that comes between. The difficulty that comes into on-chain based products is the agency that you have over affecting each of those. You know, I saw this at Xerox Labs with a product that we built called Matcha, which was a decentralized exchange aggregator on Ethereum, where, you know, it was really interesting because we were able to see all of these users coming in, connecting their wallets, doing a bunch of different things, trading, et cetera, and doing the things that we want them to. But we were at best guessing at what product features we could improve, or, you know, how we can communicate with these individuals, because by default, when you connect to something like a front end, you're not sharing an email address. So we don't really have any way to communicate with you. And so a lot of the early days of building and trying to grow that product were spent on, you know, block explorers, where you could comment on a specific address and try to ask a user that happens to check the block explorer, like, hey, what are you doing? And are you willing to talk to us? And so that's probably the biggest difference, is just how much control you have in terms of the user journey and whether you can get users en masse to actually share that information that gives you that two-way line of communication and helping to build and improve the product. There's obviously some difference in the way that these different components are marketed. I mean, obviously tokens bring a whole new, you know, spectrum of, you know, optionality in terms of user acquisition. But I think one of the biggest mistakes that I've seen made over the history of the ecosystem is, you know, using those as sort of the silver bullet to solve getting users in the door, because everyone likes free money. The problem is, once that bullet's fired, it's really hard to, put it back in the chamber, refactor it. And so, like, if you use it, you acquire users, they don't do the thing you want them to, or they leave after you give them the free money, it's actually quite difficult to, you know, turn the page over to the next chapter in terms of growth for a particular product. And so I've always counseled folks, like, if you're going to issue a token and try to use it to drive acquisition, be careful and really have a strong sense of what's going to work versus not in terms of building and growing that product. And so yeah, those are some of the key differences. But a lot of it's the same at the end of the day. Building a product and, you know, on chain or on the internet is more or less, you know, the same in terms of the things you want folks to do and the behaviors you want to see.
Yeah, it's good you brought up the whole token thing, because, I mean, if you're on Twitter, even just a few Web3 accounts, you just see airdrop after airdrop, and, like, you don't know who to. There's so many sub-levels to money being passed around, or so-called money, you really have to be careful. Do not click the links. So yeah, it's really interesting. And just because you give away tokens doesn't mean you're going to get, you know, the brains, the eyes, and the ears of people to give feedback. But there are other ways. And, you know, Web3 for marketing, I think, will be really exciting, especially with the advent of kind of attention tokens and, you know, the advancement of NFTs. You'll have a kind of a two-way door to your audience. And it'll help retain them and kind of keep them engaged over time. So I love it. I think you guys are doing a great job there. Now, Solana is definitely enjoying the crypto bull run, right? We all are, right? Even though we're getting a little bit of a dip, a little ding this week. Don't panic, anyone. But I've been seeing Solana grow and develop into a real consumer-focused product. And Solana is the one that stands out for me out of almost everyone. Polygon too, but in a much more kind of DeFi, you know, a DeFi way. But Solana really does want to be an Apple-esque type of company where they're in the hearts and minds of everyone. They want to be a household name, which I think is really cool. And it really, you guys are the first ones, or Solana is the first ones to really take that step forward. So can you tell us, like, you know, I've been tracking Solana, the Saga, the phone. There's so many cool products that are coming out that are very consumer focused. Can you kind of give us a sense of kind of how that's progressing, the whole Solana ecosystem?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that we are betting on with Coliseum in terms of, we think that the application era of on-chain products is, you know, we're right at the dawn of it. And Solana is the preeminent place to be able to build those applications and their supporting infrastructure. The low fee environment and high throughput environment obviously make that much, much easier, because you want to be able to get beyond something like 50,000 concurrent users and not have transaction fees go up to, you know, $30. Right. And so that in the abstract is obviously incredibly exciting. When you're an application builder, you don't want to have to contend with that problem in terms of, you know, just what we were just talking about in terms of acquisition funnel. Every time someone takes an action on chain, you don't want to have to have them pay a ton of money in order to do it, especially if they're low value actions. And so, that big picture is what's so exciting about Solana as sort of a substrate for building these different types of end user applications and infrastructure. I think that the other component that you mentioned around, Solana, the Saga and mobile is another key piece that I'm particularly excited about, because to date, everything that you use, say for a couple of exceptions, has been on web, and to have sort of the mobile era of on-chain products start to emerge in earnest, and actually to have that occur, you cited Apple as an example. I think it's great in terms of the vision, in terms of the duopoly that exists between the Google and Apple Play stores and sort of the tax that they take for, you know, facilitating payments within those experiences, having a counterbalance to it in something like the Saga, where developers can build kind of unencumbered, is really exciting in terms of a unique way to bring crypto to mobile for the first time. You know, I'm sure you're also thinking about things like the rewards that are being airdropped back to voters. Yeah. I think that's a nice kicker to have, right? If you can offset the cost of the phone with whatever, a dog token, that's great. But I think that, you know, if it serves the purpose of getting more phones in the hands of users so that more users can realize what's possible on mobile and on chain, I think that's a fantastic way to, you know, at least bootstrap the early user base. So those are all particularly interesting. And I think you know, we're sitting what in March 19th of 24, and I would say the last few months have been dominated by the adoption of things like meme coins on chain. But I think meme coins are actually kind of the Trojan horse for you know, what's to come, right? Where you have this massive, massive demand for block space, and transaction fees haven't increased at all, and the network stayed resilient throughout. And so for us and the teams that we're backing with Coliseum, they're going to be creating the products that actually drive real, I would say, non-speculative demand for that block space. And so to have both, you know, a web and mobile option for those applications, and to have the resilience of the network and the low cost environment of the network, is like the perfect setup in terms of what we're looking to enable with Coliseum.
Yeah. And Coliseum fits right into the whole ecosystem or life cycle of Solana, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We're finding open source developers who are smart, dedicated, and want to get funded to create applications on the Solana ecosystem. Then we build the phones, put them in, subsidize them, by the way, with as you were mentioning, subsidize them with tokens to, mm-hmm. to get people excited and to take a little bit of that, you know, sticker shock. I mean, phones are not cheap these days, you know, off the plate, get people excited about it and exploring the entire ecosystem, spending money, trading, making money on the ecosystem. So it's a this whole life cycle thing. And that's why I say it's like, you know, an Apple. And I use Apple loosely, but they created a beautiful ecosystem from developer to end user, spending money, making money. And that's truly what I think Saga or Solana in general is really doing. And I think that's important for people to understand. If you're just want to invest in it, or you want to get actually involved in developing and or just exploring the ecosystem, it's important to know. It shows that they're here for the long haul, right?
Absolutely.
It's not just a meme coin, and it's not just some phony baloney. So that's awesome. I also really enjoy the Phantom Wallet. You know, I used it at one of the Solana stores for the first time, I think a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, when Vibo was heading that up. And what a great experience. Very seamless.
Yeah, those are all my ex-colleagues at Zero X Labs. So Brandon, Francesco, and Chris, the three co-founders of Phantom, actually started working on that while at Zero X, and then obviously spun it out into its own company. So love Phantom. It's the only wallet I use.
Yeah, it's great. I use it whenever I can. MetaMask, you know, I'm not going to poo-poo on them, but we all use it. Well, most of us use it at some point. It's just lacking in really good usability. And I think Phantom hit it with a lot of things, and it's growing progressively, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just a little bit of behind the scenes with funding, right? So, when a project ends, and you said, you know, there's X amount of dollars up front, then there's 250K, you know, for build out and teams and whatnot and development. How does like the Solana directly fund the project, or is it a collection of different VC firms outside? How does that work?
Yeah, so we have put together a venture fund that is just Coliseum, and so we're Maddie, Nate, and I are sort of the arbiters of how those dollars are invested. We have obviously relationships with investors in the fund, but we are ultimately the stewards of that money. But then I think the other key component on the other side of the accelerator is sort of the demo day and the broader ecosystem of venture capitalists that invest and allocate to crypto as a category. And so that is super diverse in terms of you have everyone from individual angels all the way through to, you know, the A16Z's, Paradigms of the world that, you know, have billions of dollars under management and are still investing in the ecosystem. And so I think one of the important things though that we service is filling the gap between, hey, I've built something for 6 weeks and I have what I think is a really good, at least initial kernel and implementation of an idea. And helping provide that de-risking capital upfront to, you know, say, hey, actually, this is worth building full time, and really help them to make that commitment. And importantly, in a space like crypto where the market moves so quickly and delays in product development can really hinder your ability to grow in earnest. Having those resources on board earlier versus going out and, you know, like we've seen with many of these teams prior to Coliseum, taking 6 to 9 months to go and put together that initial round of capital, is almost untenable, at this stage. And so I think what we are looking to do with bringing that capital in so early, is help give those teams, you know, a leg up in terms of driving distribution and getting the resources from the mentorship, group that we have within the accelerator. And then obviously the broader set of venture capitalists on the other side that are looking to fund teams, and they don't have to go through the random clubby door. They just have sort of a broad, you know, microphone to share their vision for the world with a number of investors. And so, for us, it's a really important function that we serve, in sort of the broader, scope of venture and crypto.
Yeah. And even outside of VCs and the direct funding that's going on, with Coliseum, the Solana DeFi in general, it breaks $3.2 billion, you know, which increases liquidity, and offers more benefits to users. How is that going to affect, or what does it show the outside world, the investment world, users?
Yeah, I mean, TVL, maybe a sub. TVL is like a weird metric because it's kind of biased by the value of the native asset. So it's like, it's a nice like headline metric, but it's tough to reason about what it means. But I think to your point, what it does show is that, one, when you have a ton of money that, is flowing into a particular ecosystem, you give folks the opportunity to experiment with any number of products that decide to build on chain, obviously, which we're looking to enable with Coliseum. And, you know, the thing that I'll never bet against is sort of the ingenuity and random, you know, value that can be created by an open source ecosystem like crypto and like Solana specifically. And so I think really what it does is it gives people the means to go and have fun on chain and experiment and stumble into a bunch of different products, right? Maybe you come in for the dog or cat token, but eventually, you know, you realize, hey, I can actually buy, you know, a Boba Guy's tea, right? With a stable coin and a Phantom wallet on mobile. Or I can, allocate some of my compute resources to, you know, GPU, allocations for large language models and get earn some rewards for that, right? And so I think the entry point doesn't necessarily matter, but the fact that there is some capacity to take that money and basically use it as house money to go play on chain and find what's most interesting to you, the way that folks found what's most interesting on the internet to them just by having that entry point and then sleuthing around elsewhere. I think that's maybe the most important component of just the growth and adoption of value coming on chain.
Mm. Yeah, well said. And you know, I always like to tell people, like, there's if you're slightly in this world or out of it, you have to understand that there is a new economy starting. There is a new workforce. There are new purchasing habits being formed. Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful, beautiful world under the skin. And through your wallet, you can trade, transact. You can make money. You could stake. You can even host nodes. I host a Theta node and other nodes too when my computer is idle. So, you know, and you could, as you were mentioning, large language models, you can kind of help with rendering on that. It's amazing. Just the whole ecosystem and community is amazing. And Absolutely. Talking about community, community in Web3 is everything, right? So you now have 5,000 plus builder profiles created on the Colosseum network.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive. And for guys like me, I'm like, okay, what's the secret sauce? How do you keep this community engaged every single day? And I know we touched on some of it, but specifically for these guys.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of key components to it, right? I think one is just, you know, effectively the public good that we're providing in creating sort of a central meeting place for developers, no matter where you're from, to come together, share ideas, collaborate, and build. I think that that's one of the important components. But then through the hackathons and through the fund, you know, it's a lot like what you see happening in places like social media, right? Where it's the platform and the opportunity to gain recognition and adoption and growth behind a particular brand or a company. And so for us, you know, providing that opportunity to come together as a community, and then if you want to work to drive distribution and recognition through the platform and the accelerator and the funds. And so those two components are what keep folks coming in, keep it maintained, and I think not necessarily violating that trust or being overly prescriptive around what folks can do, and also importantly listening to what folks want to see built into that platform. One of the reasons that I wanted to work on Colosseum with Maddie and Nate is because, you know, I'd spent time as an operator at companies and then obviously in an investing role. And so to be able to combine the two, where we have, you know, this platform and these events that we really treat like a product, but then also have the components around investing, I think are super unique. And so to treat it like a product and take that user feedback and improve it over time, I think will only go to create sort of a compounding benefit within the community.
Yeah. And having a background in product development and marketing and all that good stuff, listening is one of the key ingredients to making a great product. So I always love to hear that when founders and teams open their ears, they listen, they give feedback, they pull people into the community, and they get the intel they need to make better products or sunset products for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Now, you know, as we're wrapping up a little bit, I want to ask you, Clay, what are you most excited for in Web3 in the next 6 months to a year?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take three pieces to this. One is something that we already touched on, which is mobile. So crypto's sort of mobile moment. So I don't have to spend a lot of time on that. I think the marriage of the real world and the on-chain world is the second bucket I'm most excited about, where, atoms and bits come together that, you know, are enabled or facilitated by some key on-chain component, which, you know, obviously maps to something like DPIN. I think it's quite interesting. And so we're excited to see some of the experimentation happening around there. And then the last one sort of goes back to my roots at Square, which is payments. I think that, you know, as much as Bitcoin maximalists would love for, you know, the world reserve currency to be BTC, the reality is that, you know, most folks in emerging markets really just want to hold dollars, and stable coins are a fantastic way to access that. And so I think that payments and particularly stable coins are really going to have a moment in this cycle, where I wouldn't be surprised to see things like the circulating supply of dollar-based stable coins on Solana massively eclipse that of Ethereum, because this is where those types of products can thrive in earnest, right? Because of the low fee environment and the experimentation that you see happening with, you know, traditional players like Visa and the rest of the payment supply chain. So that's my, you know, hobby horse that I'm particularly excited about. But the other two, I think, are quite interesting as well.
Yeah. And I think I think you're spot on. Bitcoin is not for everyone, nor does it need to be the world's reserve. Passing gold and silver and all these other big behemoths. but it doesn't really need to be it. And stable coins are a good option. One of the other things you brought up, Clay, which I'm very excited for, which is, I think, the second point you brought up, was the intersection of real world assets and digitizing digital assets. And that, I think, is just something that we haven't seen that much of yet. I have, through a few projects. Really exciting. It's starting off like, you know, a little humdrum right now, but once you're able to actually tokenize pretty much everything you own, that's a different ball game.
Yeah.
That opens up tons more ideas on how you can make money, how you can save money, how you could trade, like I said, a whole new economy is burgeoning through this. So I'm very excited about that. I'm tracking a few projects right now in that space. So very cool. And I think 2024 is going to be, how do I put it? Maybe like a wild roller coaster ride, but all good.
Yeah, I mean, so, there's never a dull moment in the ecosystem. So I'm excited for the madness, which will be fun.
Absolutely. Do you guys have any events coming up? Are you or Maddie speaking at events, or any of your team members speaking at events where our audience might be able to see you?
We have this hackathon that's running for the next 20 days. So that's probably the biggest event. So come check that out. I think we're going to plan to do a lot of stuff towards the back half of the year around Solana's annual developer conference, Breakpoint, which is happening in Singapore this year. So be on the lookout for that. But I think the other thing too that we are going to work to facilitate is, all the stuff that we do is online. Given the global nature and the hubs where a lot of developers and teams congregate, we're going to be pushing a couple of different initiatives that will help to bring folks in person in their sort of local areas, whether it's, with Hackathon alumni providing office space or different opportunities for collaboration there. So, stick to coliseum.org and our Twitter where we can share more about things like that. But that's all we got going right now.
I really like that about Coliseum and Solana for the most part. They are really making an effort to kind of reach out and touch people, get in the spaces. I really, really appreciate it. And I really like that they do that. They want to meet the people. They want to build the community. So it's really good. Clay, thank you so much. And for our viewers and listeners, coliseum.org. Go hit it up. You may not be a developer. You might even not even have a project, but check it out. It's a whole different world, and you'll start to see how things are kind of put together in these hackathon environments. So really interesting. They're part of Solana. Great foundation. Everyone check them out. And Clay, thank you. Thank you again. We'd love to have you back.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks so much, Rich.